I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're just so glad that you opened your door for us so we can go in and join you and be with you. And, you know, we got a letter from a truck driver just recently. So I don't know if you open your door, we just get in through the window or something, but we can worship with you all over the world. And we're all gathering around the throne of grace as a family of God. And those who don't know the Lord, pray that they'll come into the kingdom. Pray that they'll open their heart to the Lord Jesus in this service. And wouldn't that be a great thing? Well, we're looking at Psalm 37, verses 3 to 7, where the psalmist says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him that prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." And so, Heavenly Father, we don't fret because of those who bring wicked devices to pass, but we rest in you and rejoice in you because you are God. You'll have the last word, and you're greater than anything Satan can ever throw our way. Thank you for being such a great God. And Lord, thank you we can worship you. And we pray that in this service today there'll be many that will pray for the first time and ask you to come into their heart, confess their sins to you. And also in this service that those who are struggling and those who are having hardship, oh, give them grace and mercy as we worship you in this service. We pray it in the Savior's name. Amen. And Hank is going to sing for us, and he's got a song going to bless you. Does Jesus Care? And God bless you, Hank.
Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long. Oh yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when I said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to him? Does he see? Oh yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares.
Thank you, Hank. What a blessed, wonderful message. Jesus cares. Maybe nobody else does, but Jesus cares. And maybe you're having some hard times today. Maybe some real troubles. Maybe you're lonely. And you just think nobody knows, nobody cares. Well, you better think that over. Jesus cares. And if you've never trusted him as your Savior, do it right now. Just say, "Dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll live for you the best I can." That's what you do. And then thank him for saving your soul, and you'll have him forever and ever. I was 10 years old when I accepted Jesus. And that's 83 years ago, and he's never failed me a single time, and he won't fail you. Well, we have some nice letters. By the way, we're going to be reading from Psalm 142, if you want to look that up and be ready. But we get so many nice letters. I want to thank you for writing. I want to thank you for the gifts. Because, you know, we're not underwritten by any organization, any church or denomination. We're just underwritten by God's people, wherever they are, whoever they are. And so you need to pray and say, dear Lord, now do I, what do you want me to do about this? Should I give anything? And just making a better prayer. God has always provided, and if he wants us on, he'll provide. If he wants us off, he'll turn the spigot off and we'll stop and go fishing or something. I don't know. We'll do something. Well, here's some good letters. Red Oak, Iowa. My dear mother passed away on Christmas night at the age of 94 and a half years. Until 10 days before Christmas, she had a good mind and lived alone in her own home. Although we tried to get her to go to church with us, she preferred staying home and watching your services. While she was in the hospital, I gently questioned her about salvation, and I told her to trust Jesus. She said she had and that you had talked a lot about that. I think she grew a lot listening to your service. Anyway, thank you for reaching both my parents while they were homebound. And we hear from a lot of people are homebound and they can't get around, especially in the winter. Some can't get away in the summer anytime. And we have you in mind all the time. We pray for you. And in our sermons, in our singing, we're thinking about you. And God's thinking about you too. And so you're never alone. Here's Stuart, Florida. Oh, I'm here. Now listen to this. All you ladies, tune us in here. Enclosed is $80 for your gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I had bought an outfit that I really liked, being a woman, but was convicted that I didn't need it and should return it and send the money to you. It sounded crazy, but I did it. I'm thankful I'm clothed with garments of salvation, and at his table is my place. Keep preaching the old-fashioned gospel. Now, isn't that something? Now, I'm excited when we get to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, see what the Lord says about that. Will she be rewarded for that? And God bless you. And we just appreciate that so much. Here's Kenmore, Washington. Your program has blessed me more than I've ever seen. I just pray you will live and keep it up as long as you can. Pray for my son who is in jail because of his drinking. And so here's somebody in Kenmore, Washington, and we just think about you and we're praying. And I know when we give these requests that there are people all over the world praying for these requests. And when you write some for a request, we always pray for you. Here's Harlem, Georgia. Pastor, I am dying of cancer and would covet your prayers. I am saved and I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I look forward to being with you, with our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. My wife and I are 77 and 76. We look forward to your message every week. We love you, Pastor. Yours in Christ. And we love you too, brother and sister. And we love all of the people of God. And those of you that aren't the people of God, we love you too. And that's what we're preaching for. And that's why we have people come and they work, our team works to get these programs put together and to get them on tapes or CDs or DVDs or Lord only knows, I don't know what they're doing. They're doing something and it's going out and we're doing it because we love you. And we want you to come to know Jesus. And if you know Jesus, we want to encourage you. You young people want to encourage you to live the life you should live and to find God has something for you to do. So we're ministering to all and even the children. We get letters from children and we have a little book we send to the children that write in and encourage them in the Christian faith. Here's Brush Prairie, Washington. I've been watching your broadcast on my computer for about 2 years now. I absolutely love it. I live in the hills and do not get TV reception and I refuse to pay for it by cable. I love the sermons and weekly devotionals. They speak directly to me. I have recommended your broadcast to numerous friends of mine that are on the road frequently with which I work and travel. I also want to say that I enjoy the special music. Please send me your weekly devotional and a new song so I can study more on my own. Keep up the good work. I will continue to pray for your ministry. Isn't that a nice letter? And he's telling other people, pass the word. You know something? If every one of you got one person to listen, we double our attendance, our listening attendance overnight. So just pass the word. Be a little missionary and pass the word. Richmond, Virginia. Richmond, Missouri. We want to thank you for being a blessing in our lives as you preach the word each week and proclaim the good news of Jesus. My husband and I are 93 and 88 years old, and we've had health problems recently and unable to attend our church. We are married 68 years. Always attended church until recently. We're enclosing a check and pray God will give you strength to keep preaching. Isn't that wonderful? 68 years. My wife Buell and I had 59 and a half years. And I thank God for that. But to just think 68, isn't that nice? And all you young married people, or you're just getting married, or you haven't had very many anniversaries, you just listen to these folks here. And they give and they take, and it isn't a 50-50 proposition. It's 100% both ways. And you can make it work, and you ought to do it. And 68 years. God bless them. Here's Cambridge, Massachusetts. And this isn't a letter to me. It's to the board of directors. Oh, man. But I intercepted it. And this is what they write. Could you please let me know if Pastor Harold Salem dies before me? I noticed there was one sermon, two consecutive Saturdays. So this is what happens. We get calls all the time. The station's supposed to play a new program every time, and sometimes they don't, and we don't know it. They'll skip it, or they'll play the same one twice. Well, if they play the same sermon twice, they'll think, he died. He's gone on to glory. Well, I haven't gone anywhere yet, and I'm going to preach, and you know what? I might just surprise you how long I preach. I don't know. Only the Lord knows. But it's just kind of, I just enjoy hearing from these people. So, yeah, I'm here. I said I should have called back and said, this is Pastor Salem. And they says, Pastor Salem, where are you calling from? Because I'm still here. Here's Abilene, Texas. Those that call on the name of the Lord will be saved. This has kept me going. I've been in prison and had many bad things in my life. I'm in my 70s and have a bad heart. I don't fear death. Well, you know why he doesn't fear death? He knows Jesus. He knows Jesus. And when you know Jesus, he takes away the sting of death. He takes away the fear of death. And you know what? You get so you look forward to it. St. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He says, absent from the body and at home with the Lord. And so, it's, you know, I want to stay here and help people. I want to go home and meet those that have gone ahead of me. So I'll just leave it up with the Lord. And that's what we all do. And he'll do the right thing. One more letter. Dear Brother Harold, and this is from Etne, Norway. And I've heard from this brother before. And we've corresponded a little bit. And he says, Dear Brother Harold, I'm enclosing an English translation of an old Danish-Norwegian hymn traditionally used during Advent, but equally applicable at any time of the year. The way that leads unto Jesus leads. The only way is to be on. Your brother in Christ, Sten. And then he sent me the song, and I just thought it was so beautiful that I'm going to read it. And so this is an old Danish-Norwegian hymn, and it's entitled, The Way That Leads, The Way That Unto Jesus Leads. And it goes this way. The way that unto Jesus leads, it blessed is to wander. Fulfillment there of all our needs, the soul in joy shall ponder. His words and deeds of heavenly worth all prove he came through human birth, our God from heaven yonder. The blind can see, the lame can walk, the leprous now have healing. The dead arise, the dumb can talk, his wondrous power revealing. And now the gospel's blessed cheer, the humblest hearted poor may hear, his truth brooks no concealing. O blessed Jesus, he who can at thee become offended, because thou bearest the form of man, he meets the doom intended. Through faith in thee I find release, my life, my bliss, my hope, my peace, through thee my griefs are ended. Isn't that beautiful? Well, if you want a copy of this, you write to us, and you write to us the Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And just write for the Jesus Hymn or Jesus Leads. Just write that. We'll send it free and postpaid, and you'll just love it. And then we want to also encourage you, to all of you, to write to us and let you know if you have how you're getting along. And if you have prayer requests, let us have that. And then, of course, we need your gifts. And, you know, we're not underwritten by any organization, denomination. It's just the people of God giving. And so just think of the Christian Worship Hour as an investment. So when somebody comes to know Christ, you've invested in that soul. And somebody you've comforted and you helped them in their last days on earth. God's going to reward us for that. And so now, of course, there's lots of good people, a lot of good organizations, and got a lot of good services. We're not the only one, but we are one of them. And so just ask God if you want to help us. It's the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And it's also the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And then I want to tell you about the new song. It's a little Bible study that we have every month. This month it is on When Jesus Comes Again. When Jesus Comes Again. And so there's some scriptures you can look up and some thoughts that you can put on the return of the Lord Jesus. And sometimes they use these for Sunday school, sometimes for private Bible study. And so we'd be happy to send it to you if you'll write to us and ask for the new song. We also have CDs and DVDs you can write. We send them on a free will offering basis. And if, as you give, you can remember this, that we are underwritten by the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And that's a reputable organization, international organization. They check our books so that we're on the level and that we're using the money where we say it'll go and where we promise to send it. So we're just rejoicing in the Lord and looking to you to help us. The Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. Now Jan's going to play. First I'm going to pray, and then she's going to play, and then you can pay us. And if you want to, you can get on the internet, and there's a PayPal. And wherever you are in the world, you can send a gift. Just think of that. Anywhere in the world. And we'll get it in a United States money, and we'll pay our bills, and we'll go on our way rejoicing. So Heavenly Father, thank you for providing our needs. You've called us to do this work. Because you called us to do this work, we know you'll pay the way. You'll supply our needs. And so we thank you for all who are having a part. We just pray now that you'll bless us and bless every gift and every giver in the Savior's name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jan. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. You know, that's true. Nobody ever loved us like Jesus loved us. And if he loved us so much, we ought to love him back. And you say, well, I don't love Jesus. You know why you don't love Jesus? Because you don't know him. If you knew Jesus Christ, you couldn't help but love him. And so that's a beautiful song. And so we love Jesus, and that's why we're serving him this way. That's why we're telling you about him. And I hope if you haven't accepted Jesus during this service, you'll just pray and say, dear Jesus, just come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll follow you the best I can. That's repentance, and Jesus taught repentance. Got to turn from your ways the best you can. And so, and then just thank him. Just do that. Do that right during the sermon. I don't like you to be fooling around during the sermon, but you can. We make exceptions for that. Well, we want to look at Scripture today, Psalm 142. And in the prayer this morning, we're going to pray for the Christians in Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe. Every week we pray for a different country or a different area where the Christians are being suffering and hurting. And somebody said, well, why don't you pray for Israel? The Christians aren't hurting in Israel. They have freedom to worship in Israel. And thank God for that. But we do pray for Israel because of the chosen nation. God chose them as a nation. And so we do pray for Israel too, of course. But Zimbabwe today. But first, Psalm 142, beginning with the first verse. And this is David, King David, before he's the king, he's writing this. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand, and behold, there was no man to help that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. O Lord, we know that there are some who feel that way, that no man cared for my soul. Nobody cares about me. But like David said, he found that you cared for him. You loved him. And there are others that love him, Lord, and we love those people. And that's why we're doing our best to give out the gospel, that if they have never been born again, that they'll open their heart to Jesus. And if they are Christians, that they'll be comforted and lean on you and put all their troubles into your care and know that you'll never leave them or forsake them. And Lord, today we pray for our brothers and sisters in Zimbabwe. And oh God, the terrible way they are suffering. And they're suffering not because of evil, any evil they have done. They are suffering because they say, I am a Christian. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And they says, deny him or we'll cut off your head. And they'll say, cut away. They never would turn, never turned. Oh God, we just pray that you'll bless. We know you'll bless them and take their soul into your presence. And to those that are left behind, comfort their hearts, how they must grieve. But oh God, we know that you're on the throne and the day is going to come when you're going to put an end to all these things. And then, oh God, we'll see your great power and might and glory. So we love you, Lord. Pray to bless this service. Use it to honor Jesus. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Jan's going to sing for us and entitled, All Your Anxiety. And God bless you, Jan.
Is there a heart or bound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Come to the cross, each burden bearing. All your anxiety, leave it there. entreaty, kind and sweet. You need not fear a disappointment. You shall find peace at the mercy seat. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat.
And how true that is. When we have our troubles, our trials, we're anxious about something, we're worried, just take it to Jesus. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, my burden is light." And just Jesus is there to help you. Just lean on him. You have to just lean on Jesus. Well, we're going to talk about a young man who said, "No man cared for my soul." It's recorded in Psalm 142 and verse 4. And this is a cry made by a young man. Nobody loved him, and nobody knew his sorrow and his loneliness. No one, except there was one, King Saul. And King Saul was interested in this young man because he wanted to kill him. And the young man, you know who he was? David. David is a young person. And he's fleeing from King Saul, who wants to take his life. And so he writes in the fourth verse, "I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul." Do you know what? David wasn't the last person to say, make that cry, "No man cared for my soul." Because if we listen, we will hear it. We will hear it all the time. We'll hear it from our neighbor. You might even hear it from your spouse. You might hear it from your children or your parents. Maybe the next person you're sitting to in the pew, in the church, or the one that you work with, maybe in their soul they're saying the same thing. No one cares about me. No one cares for my soul. So let's look at that. First of all, it is true. There's just no way around it. There are people all over the world who die in their sin. People never heard of Christ. And Jesus Christ is the only way to God. There's no other way. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so that's the major religions of the world don't like that. The major religions of the world take offense at that. To say that Christianity, that Jesus Christ is the only way. They don't like that. But whether you like it or not, as my old grandpa used to say, put it in your pipe and smoke it. In other words, you just take it because Jesus Christ said that. He said there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. One way, not through works. One way to heaven, not through works. Not through a church, not through a person, not through a rite, not through a ceremony. But it is a person. Jesus Christ is the only way. And so we need to let people know that. And we need to see people next to us. And they're lonely and everything. And we have the answer. We know that we can have the Savior to walk with us and talk with us and be with us. And so we need to share Jesus. And when we do that, don't get preachy and don't get self-sanctimonious and think that that we're so spiritual and these poor heathen, we're going to help them. And I'm going to tell you, we're all poor old lost sinners saved by grace. And we need to remember what we were and what we did before we knew the Lord. And sometimes after we knew the Lord, some of the things we did, and we won't be so high and mighty. Some of these Christians running around, they're proud as a peacock. They make peacocks jealous. They're so mighty and high and great and spiritual. Well, just come on their same level and tell them, "I am a poor old lost sinner saved by grace." That's what you tell them. And then tell them what Jesus did for you, see. And if you tell them what Jesus did for you, why, they can't argue that away from you. If you get into theology, and the Trinity and some of these things, they can argue all day long. But when you say, "I know Jesus in my life, and I know what he's done in my life. I know what he's done in my heart. They can't fight that. So that's what we need to do. And these people, that it's true that they're lonely and they don't think anybody cares. And then it's really sad. It's sad because they're carrying a heavy load of their sin. Some of them have a stinging conscience. Some have an aching heart. Some have a broken body. Some are crying out of their loneliness. Nobody cares. Nobody knows. The world is so big and they're all alone in it and nobody comes to see them. Or they're frustrated. They're at their wits' end. They've done the best they can. They honestly don't know which way to turn. They would gladly turn if somebody would talk to them, but their situation is a sad, sad sight. And we ought to take heart because of it. And then we can say, no man cared for my soul. That is unnecessary. It is sad because Christians have the answer. We can tell them, here's somebody say that they're dying. And we have medicine that we know that we give them this medicine to save their life. But we don't share it with them. And they're lost. And so we need to talk to people and just tell them what Jesus has done for them. And a good way to do it is just say, you know, God has sure been good to me. Or I just love the Lord. Or God helped me to do this. Or God helps me all the time. I just know God loves me. Just in a simple way, talk about them. But you see, these people, they're all about us. They're all filled. The world has so many of them. And we have that answer. And so we need to share what we have. But so many times, we don't talk about Jesus. And we don't tell them what he's done for us. And just think of it. The people are saying, he's saying, no man cared for my soul. And yet we could just to talk to them, pray with them, witness to them. Tell them what Jesus done for us. They need to know it. And it's a tragic cry because it means that a soul is being lost. There's a soul hanging in the balance here. And if they don't come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to have some awful consequences, some terrible consequences. But look at here in Romans 10, verse 10, 14. Look what it says. Paul says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher or without a witness, without another person talking to them? Paul is saying, now here you have somebody, and nobody cares for my soul. And they don't know anything about Jesus. They would call him the name of Jesus if they knew about him. But if they don't know about him, how are they going to call on his name? How are they going to turn to him if they don't know which way to turn? That's what the apostle is telling us. And people are searching. Look at what David says. He says, I looked to help find help. I looked and there was no one to help me. No one cared. I was looking. And oh, when we talk to people, we have the idea, oh, they're going to get mad. They're going to get upset if I talk to them about the Lord. Well, maybe some of them will. I've had them get upset and rankled, and I had them tell them, it's none of your business. And then I tell them, oh, yeah, that is my business. I'm a preacher. And so I can get by with it, see. But most people, 9 out of 10 are not going to get angry with you. And many of them will listen. There are people saying, I looked. I want to know the way. I want to know about Jesus Christ. I want to know how to get out of this sorrow. I want to get rid of this loneliness. I am not complete. There's something missing. And so they turn to riches, or they turn to sex, or they turn to popularity, or they turn to money. Everything under the sun. There's something missing. And you know what that is? We were made for God. And we have a compartment that will never be complete until Jesus Christ fills that compartment. That's why we have so many false religions in the world. They will worship anything to fill that void in their heart and their soul. And that answer is Jesus Christ. And so it is a tragic cry when they do that. And it's a costly cry because, my friends, it has to deal with an eternal soul. Someday we're going to have to stand before the Lord, and we're going to have to answer for that, because that's a soul that Jesus Christ died for. And the Lord Jesus Christ, just think of how valuable that soul is. Jesus talked about it. He says, what is a man profited? Matthew 16, verse 26. What is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, there are really two questions here that Jesus asks. He says, first of all, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? That is, if you got the whole world, now you want to be rich and you want to see all the land you can get and all the money you can get and how powerful you can be, supposing you got the whole world, which isn't going to happen, by the way. But you think you're going to get the whole world. Jesus says, if you had the whole world and lost your own soul, you would be the lost. You wouldn't gain a thing. It would be a loss. It'd end up in the loss department. You see, that's what the devil tried to do with Jesus. He tempted him at least three times, maybe more, I don't know. But three times, and he says, if you worship me, I'll give you the whole world. Jesus, you don't need to go to the cross. You just worship me. I'll give you the world. Well, the louse doesn't own the world in the first place. And he couldn't deliver it if he wanted to. But Jesus wouldn't bow to such a thing as that. And so he's Jesus saying, if you had the law, you'd be the loser if you had all the world. And the second thing he says, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That is, if you lose your soul, And you want to get it back, and the devil has it. And so what will you give to get your soul back, to buy your soul back? And you'll find out that if you had all the world, you couldn't buy it back, that you can't buy it back. You can't get it back. The only one that can get it back is the sinless Son of God, who takes our sins and pays for our sins with his blood on the cross. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And he paid the price. But that won't help you a bit until you go to Jesus and confess your sins to Jesus. If you don't go to Jesus, even though he's paid for them on the cross, if you don't go to Jesus and avail yourself of that sacrifice that's paid on the cross, you will go into an eternity that's Christless and forever. That's where the fires burn and the fire's not quenched. And so that valuable soul, it's the most invaluable thing you have in the world. You'll never have anything more valuable. And it's going to be with it. It's never going to die. It's going to be, they call it the second death, but it simply means that it's absence of joy of living. And you're going to be in that soul is going to be in heaven or in hell. And it's going to be there forever and ever. I just got a letter this last week from a man that says that the fire of hell is going to go out after a while. Of all the stupid thing I ever heard, I never got that come yet. I've heard about hell freezing over and stuff like that. But here this guy says the fire in hell's going to go out. Well, he sure got some knowledge. Idiot, it was so crazy I didn't take time to answer him. Fires of hell is forever and forever and world without end. And when end time comes to an end, then time comes to an end, then we shift into eternity. And eternity doesn't have any beginning or ending, because see, here's eternity has no beginning or ending. And there's a little sliced off time started at the Garden of Eden, at the creation of the world. And it goes till Jesus comes again. Then that's the end of time. And time is just a little spot here in the eternity. And so it will go forever and ever, never end. And so this poor soul, you have to come to Jesus now. After death, the judgment. And after death, there is no hope. And somebody says, I think if I change my mind, I'll just do that. And maybe after I die, or I'll do it on my deathbed. You ever heard him tell you that? I've heard him tell me, oh, I'll do it on my deathbed. Or they'll say, I want to sow my wild oats first. So they sow their wild oats and pray they don't get a harvest. That's what they do. But there's always a harvest. You're going to sow. You're going to reap what you sow. And there's no way around it. And so if you're going to come to Jesus, you better come right now. I know you can be saved on your deathbed. I've seen it. And I've been with people that did pray on their deathbed. And I know that Jesus accepted them and believed them. But there's only one place in the Bible that I know of that a person was saved on their deathbed. And that was a thief on the cross. He was dying. And he asked Jesus to save him. Did Jesus save him? You bet he did. He says, today, you're dying. You're going to be gone before the sun goes down. Today, you're with me in paradise. Because Jesus is going to die too. And send her in the center of the earth for 3 days and three nights. And then he came back in that glorious resurrection. But the point I'm simply making is, don't you wait. Don't you wait. And you know, look at the lost. Jesus said, the time is now. Don't wait for another time. Don't wait for a different day. Don't wait for your birthday or anniversary or something. Look at what Jesus says in John chapter 4, verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the harvest. They are ripe for ready for harvest. Right today. The harvest is right now. And so just look at that. There's an urgency to it that we need to be with Jesus and we need to be witnessing for these people. And so how are we going to do that? Well, have a burden for the lost, first of all. And that's why, you know, that's why we have the Christian Worship Hour. And we've been going now, I don't know, 38 years. I keep losing count. Changes every year. How are you going to keep up with it? But all those years, we're doing that because we have a burden for your soul. We want you to come to Jesus. Jesus loves you. We love you. And we're doing all we can. If, you know, we do anything to have you come to the Lord. I've had parents, and they say, oh, if they could pray for their children, they'd say the prayer for their children. And sometimes children will say, if I could just get my dad, I'd say the prayer for him, but nobody can do it. You have to do it yourself. So you have heaven and hell, and you have an eternal soul that's going to be in one or the other forever and ever. You are the one to decide where it goes. You can say, yes, Jesus, I want you as my Savior. I ask you to come in to save me and take away my sins. I'll live for you the best I can. Or you can say, no, Lord, I don't need you. I'm good enough for myself. I'll take my chances. And if I go to hell, all my friends will be there. Well, you won't find much fun with your friends because it'll be like solitary confinement. The torment will be so great you won't know who's there except you'll know you're there. And you say, oh, I don't know. I had a preacher tell me one time. He says, oh, I don't know. I don't like to preach too much about hell. I don't like to scare people. I don't think that's right to scare people. Why, boy, I'd scare you to death if I could, if it kept you out of hell. You know, I'd maybe get a gun or something. I don't know what I'd do. I'd do anything for you. If I can scare you into heaven, I'll sure scare you into heaven. So that's why we have to have that passion, that desire, and that love. And that's exactly what we are. And so, Christian, you know, the Christian Worship Hour cares for you. That's our mission. Our mission is threefold. Our mission, first of all, is to honor Jesus Christ, to honor God. The second is to win the lost to Jesus, to have the poor, dear, lost people come to Jesus. And the third thing is to comfort God's people. That's what it is in a nutshell. And that's exactly what we're here for. And we have people that work to help us, volunteers. Most of all of our workers are volunteers, are helping us. And so many times we have a prayer group of over 40 people praying all the time. Don't get a penny. And they're putting their time praying for your soul and praying for people that are having, Christians having trouble. And also, we just have to somehow just pray and love and have a burden. And you know something else? Every time you pray for this ministry, you're having a part in bringing people to Jesus. Every gift you send is proof that you care for the lost. Every person you get to listen and come to listen is you're having a part in the salvation of their soul. Every time you take the Christian Worship Hour and their new song and give it out to other people, like some people do, you're having a part in bringing the people to the Lord. And so we just pray and we worship and love you, want you to come to Jesus. So this is what David said. He says, I cried unto thee, O Lord. He says, and no man heard my soul. No man cared for my soul. And then in the fifth verse, Psalm 142, the fifth verse, listen to this. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Now look at this end of the story. He says, No man cared for my soul. And now David says, I look to you, Lord. You are my refuge. I'm coming to you. And look at what he says in this next verse. He says, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet on a rock and established my goings in Psalm 40. Psalm 40, Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. And that's where the secret is. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Somebody does care. Jesus cared enough to die for you. So you come to Jesus. And just think of this, my dear friends. If you do have that, and the most wonderful thing you can do in all the world is help a person to come to know the Lord. Just in your, just talk to them about Lord, what the Lord means, or give them a tract, or have them study something and look at that. And then these wonderful people will say, Oh, you do have something I want. I remember a lady one time, she came forward in a church service. It's been a long time ago, but about maybe 60 years ago. And I remember she came forward, and afterwards at the service and accepted the Lord. And I said, What really spoke to your heart? And she said, You know, there wasn't really anything in the sermon. That sounded good to me. It really wasn't anything you said. But my daughter's been coming to this church, and she's accepted Jesus, and I want what she has. Now, you see, here is a woman was brought to the Lord because her daughter lived the Christian life. And so you just live for the Lord. And live for the Lord and love the Lord. And then he says, If you do that, I'll speak through you, and you will be a light shining to them. And actions speak louder than words. And what do they say? You know, what you do is so loud I can't hear what you're saying. And if we say one thing and live a different lifestyle, it isn't going to get anywhere. And so as we give our life to the Lord, and as we live that life before others and just praying for them and talking to them and have a prayer list. And like the psalmist says in Psalm 126, he says, If you will really witness for me, God says, there'll be results. People will come. This is what he says. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Just think of that. He says, first you have to go forth. You have to go out among the people and talk to the people. You have to be with them, and you have to have tears. In your heart, you have to pray, Oh God, I want to see John come to the Lord. I want to see this. Have a prayer list. I've got a list where I've got their names written down. And some I pray for every day, and sometimes I pray for every week, different times. But you pray for them. And if you do that and have those tears and go forth, go out to these people and go to see them and talk to them. And it says, shall doubtless come again. You're going to get a harvest. I'm a child of the Depression. I was born in 1921. In the 30s, I was 10 years old, 11 years old, long in there. Now I remember those days. And I remember one year, we planted our crops, and we didn't get one kernel of corn. Not one kernel did we get. And we lost our farm, but we didn't lose our faith because of mother, my mother. And she said, I don't know, because I remember my mother and I, we prayed that we wouldn't lose our farm. And in the scriptures it says, if two of you shall gather, agree on anything, I will do it. And so we both prayed to keep our farm, and we lost our farm. And I said, Mother, I don't understand this. She says, I don't understand it either, but I know God is true. Well, what we didn't know is you need to pray according to His will. We've got to be in the Lord's will. We don't want to be out of the Lord's will. And it was God's will that I get off of the farm and go into preaching. That's what it was all about, I think, part of it. And so my mother, she didn't flinch. I talked to others who lost their farms in the Depression, and they hated God. I remember one woman who said she'd never, ever put her foot in the door of a church again because she says, I tithe and we lost our farm. Well, maybe they're poor farmers, for one thing. I don't know. But there was a lot of people lost their farms in the Depression, and she lost her farm and she lost her faith. But my mother didn't lose her faith, and she saw that we had, and she says, shall doubtless come again. With rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him, there'll be no crop failures with God. And that's why, why I love to preach, because I know right now, I know it, there are people asking Jesus into their heart. I know that. I know there are Christian people that are drawing strength from the Word of God. I know that because God tells us in Isaiah 55, verse 11, He says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper thereunto the thing I send it. God says there's no crop failures with the word of God. There may be those who reject it. There will be, of course. God have mercy on their soul. But those other who put their faith in Jesus, and there will always be people will do that. Even children will do that. And there's always somebody comes along and says, oh, children are too little. You can't talk to children to the age of accountability so they know what they're doing. Well, I want to tell you something. Right now, I know two ladies in their 80s. One lives in Oregon and one lives in Colorado, who accepted Jesus when they were 5 years old. And they lived for Jesus in their 80s. And I accepted Jesus when I was 10. And don't you try to come to my door and tell me that a 10-year-old can't be saved, because I was saved. And Jesus took me in. And so I know that even the children are turning to the Lord. And the way I preach just as simple as I can, so the children can understand. And I know that these things are happening because of the power of God, the Word of God and the Spirit of God. It isn't me at all. I'm just preaching. You can get a parrot to preach. The power is in the Word of God and the Spirit of God. I am nothing. I'm the conduit pipe. You can buy conduit pipe at 10 cents a foot. But the power is in the Word of God and the Spirit of God. I can't take anything to myself. But that's why I know God is at work. Things are happening. And we won't see it till we get to glory. But will we see it then? And won't they rejoice? So now listen. This is what you ought to do. You ought to pray, dear Jesus, come into my heart and take away my sins. Now that isn't so hard. What's that? Why can't you get that through your head? Except just ask Jesus to come into your heart. Oh, you're stubborn. You bet. That keeps a lot of people and puts a lot of people into hell. You just say, I have sinned. And I ask Jesus if you'd forgive me and take away my sin. And I'll serve you the best I can. You pray that. And you thank him then for saving you. And you write to us and we'll send you some literature. And tell your husband or tell your wife. Most of the time it's the man that doesn't come. Most of the time the women come first. And then the men come dragging along, if they come at all. And you ought to come and you ought to tell him you've accepted Jesus, so they're not worrying to death about your soul. And when you die, we can say you're in heaven. Or we don't have to say, I don't know. Because you can't say you are or you aren't till you accept Jesus. So you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. You can get us on christianworshiphour.com. And you can write to us if you want to give us some support. You want to help us in this work. You say, yes, I want to invest in that. Well, then you can just get it on the internet, christianworshiphour.com. There it says PayPal. And you pay and you will be your pal. And we'll go on our way rejoicing. And you'll have treasure in heaven. So you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, I believe, we believe there are multitudes right now opening their heart to the Savior. And there are multitudes taking heart. They're on a sick bed. They're in a wheelchair. They can't get out. They can't get around. But they're putting their faith in you and they're rejoicing because of the presence of the Savior. And you said you'd never leave or forsake. Help them to lean on you. We believe that's happening because of the power of God and the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And so, Heavenly Father, have your way. Bless your name. May all we do and say please you. And bring us back again next week, Lord, so that more will come into the kingdom. Sweep many into the kingdom of God. Become a part of the body of Christ. Help us to that end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.